Welcome to another session today with Crypto Talks Wednesday. I'm really, really excited about this session. We have an excellent guest. Jay is here. Jen is here. So hopefully it will be a very interactive session and we're going to be learning a lot of information.
Let's hit it, Rudy. Welcome, everyone. Let's welcome Jennifer. Jennifer Sinhaji is leading the growth behind the DAO and behind MakerDAO specifically. So I want to welcome you, Jen. Thank you for being with us on such a short notice. But MakerDAO is one of the best projects out there. And it is proving a turning point in the cryptocurrency markets, that cryptocurrencies are no longer about finance and are no longer about money, but about governance as well. So governments might change in the future because of the governance structures of cryptocurrencies. And one of the best out there is MakerDAO. So please, Jen, introduce yourself and welcome to Dex Talks.
Hey. For having me here. Sorry, do you guys have an echo or is that just mine coming through? Okay, it seems to be gone. I'm excited to be here. La Bess, salam alaikum to all of you watching from abroad. I work at the MakerDAO, on the MakerDAO growth team. So for the past 3 years, almost, I was at the Maker Foundation, which is the business entity that kind of operates and bootstraps the MakerDAO project. And just recently in the last month, we actually kind of reached a really big milestone where we've started to dissolve the foundation. So what that means, it sounds kind of negative, but it's actually a really, something we've been striving for a while, where business units will form and work independently under the DAO and be entirely governed by the Maker community, so MKR holders. So the growth team, which I'm a part of, is one of the first doing that. So it's really exciting to kind of see this this evolution in Maker's history. So I'm based in North America, right outside of New York City. And my day-to-day is really focused on building out partnerships and integrations with other applications, companies, looking at different distribution channels for DAI. So thinking about all the exchanges where DAI can be, bought, sold, traded, and making it really easy for anybody anywhere to be able to access this decentralized stablecoin that we have. I'm also part Lebanese and my husband is from Morocco. So this is actually super cool for me to be part of this conversation and, talking with Tay and learning about all the things he's doing in Lebanon and in the MENA region is really important for Maker's mission. Very early on, we stated and still remain very focused on providing financial inclusion and financial access to anyone, anywhere in the world. And really breaking down the barriers that exist for people to be able to lend, borrow, save, and really kind of take control of their finances.
Thank you. Thank you, John, Jen, for this nice introduction. You were talking about the DAI. So DAI, for our viewers, is a stable cryptocurrency. It is one of the special stable cryptocurrencies because it is not backed by a central company like USDC or USDT. Although that we see in Lebanon and in the MENA region, the most used cryptocurrency today is not Bitcoin or Ethereum. In fact, it is the stable currencies, USDT, for example, for what it provides as a collateral or as a hedge against inflation, and especially in Lebanon, the hyperinflation. So, Jen, I want to know from you why people should use DAI and not, for example, USDT Tether. What makes DAI so special?
Yeah, it's really the decentralized attribute. And that is particularly more important for these regions of the world where hyperinflation is such, a big problem. So, the decentralized aspect where, there isn't any one entity or person that could say, we're going to turn this off, we're going to seize these funds, or we're going to limit your ability to access them or to move them around, is something that people who have only really suffered from hyperinflation can relate to and have that probably, raw feeling of this is real. Like, I actually know that my money can be manipulated from me in a very specific way. So here in the United States, cryptocurrencies are, it's much more speculative, and people are, talking about things you can do with them, like farming and, trading, and it's not so much about this everyday lifeline to being able to maintain and store your wealth. So the decentralized piece of it, and why DAI is different from the fiat-backed stablecoins, is really because of that. Because if you've ever suffered from a hyperinflation, that is something that could happen only because you're providing trust into a government or somebody, a bank or some monetary policy that is going to potentially make bad decisions. So that decentralized aspect, where you can look at DAI, you could see the balance sheet, so to speak, at any given moment on the blockchain and know what is backing it. You could see all the collateral and all the value that's backing all that standing DAI. That's valuable, and that's truly what makes it unique.
Nice. So, Jennifer, what are the challenges on starting a DAI in general? Since today we're talking about DAIs from a perspective of governance, and it is providing a new type of way to govern companies, to govern communities, how difficult is it to start a DAI?
A DAO. Yeah, a DAO focused on DAI. Yes, it is actually, it's not that easy. Maker's been at it for probably, the longest, I would say, because, Maker was really came to life, the idea of it, at least almost 6.5 years ago, where the current founder, Rune Christensen, and his, at the time, technical co-founder were really, advocates of a Bitcoin and just decentralization in general. And, they looked at the BitShares community and were excited about what they were seeing there. But, realized that having governance and risk mechanisms that would really properly, stabilize assets in a way that those assets can be used on a scale because of stability, kind of is where the idea of a decentralized U.S. dollar denominated stablecoin came to life. And so there was a lot of people just, informally who were excited about this idea and would kind of, meet up and talk on Reddit and different forums about what Maker is, what the vision is, and became, kind of contributors and, just these early stage community members without really having an immediate incentivization like we see today, where DAOs spring up around a collective idea and a collective kind of incentive alignment. Early on, it was really about people just excited about this concept. And then from that, it continued to grow. And as the protocol kind of emerged as this, thing where people could actually generate DAI and start using it, the reality of, well, we have to govern this and govern this in a way where the health of the system is intact and it can continue to scale. And so, that brought in, the whole dynamics of voting and coordinating decisions and coordinating questions and thinking about what are the things that we should, that should be focused on. So, today, we've kind of streamlined that whole process of, what kind of questions should be asked, what kind of product features should we be thinking about, what are the risk parameters that we need to be altering from a day-to-day perspective. Mm-hmm. And so there's dialogue in the format of forums. So Maker Forum is this kind of public destination where anybody, you don't have to be a community member, you could just pop on forum.makerdao.com and see in real time all the different proposals that are being discussed and voted on and other topics that the community is thinking about to really govern and manage the whole system. So, you know, I would say the not so easy part comes down to voting and getting people to, you know, be able to find the time to carve out and stay on top of all the relevant things, because crypto, as everybody knows, moves fast. I mean, day to day, things change. Maker as a protocol is not one of those super easy ones to understand overnight. So you have to be constantly involved and learning and staying on top of those items in order to make good decisions. Because if you're voting in the wrong direction, then that's actually going to reflect back on the value of the community, the value of the protocol, and the actual value of the MKR token, which is the governance token. So, yeah. You know, it's not an easy feat at all, but we've gotten to a point where we've put in place, the community has put in place, different ways to communicate, different ways to make decisions, and then ultimately take that to on-chain voting.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer, I mean, we're going to cover in our news today in the Arabic section the mishap or the mistake that happened with BlockFi when they gave Bitcoins instead of GUSD as a promotion to their subscribers. So you're talking about not a company that is doing or governing MakerDAO, but you're talking about a community. And you mentioned voting and you mentioned governance. As you know, our regions or in the MENA region, specifically in Lebanon, we have a big problem in governance from a government centralized perspective. So I think DAO could give the opportunity for communities to govern themselves, to create their own money, to find their own solutions. Yet what I'm hearing from you is it is not that easy. And it requires a lot of dedication, and you need basically key players, or you need people to carry this flag and always push forward. So tell me, how do you stay busy? How busy blockchain and DAO, MakerDAO puts Jennifer in her day-to-day activities?
It's busy, but it's fun. I would say it's not busy where you're just, you're burnt out and you're like, why am I doing this? It's like you want to have the energy and the stamina to be able to continue to take it all in and stay on top of it. So it's a really, it's a positive busyness, but it certainly is busy. And, going back to your point about, a DAO being a really, good model for communities in places like Lebanon to consider, I would definitely not discourage that, just because it might take a little bit of hard work initially. But now, with MakerDAO, with other projects, kind of experimenting, because really DAOs are still in this experimental phase. We've seen things that work well, and we've seen things that don't work well. And a lot of it usually comes down to the incentive alignment and really getting to the core of what a community should coordinate around and why they want to participate and what is the long-term value to their participation and the long-term value to the project or the community or whatever whatever it is that the DAO is focused on, how do those two things, how compatible are they? Because you could easily say, okay, let's spin up a DAO. We're going to create a token. And, now we're calling ourselves a DAO. That might work for like a month, but to get the real value out of it and to have people coming back and investing their time and putting in the work, you have to make it meaningful. And, Each individual, DAO has to figure out what that looks like. But I'm obviously a fan of them. I think they're, the way they kind of improve upon a corporate structure is, you know, is really fascinating. And for people to be able to kind of like input their values into code, you know, that's represented in code on a blockchain is super unique.
Just want to say welcome to the participants. We had a glitch in the background, but hopefully now it's sorted out. Ask your questions. Ben is really a leader in this. Try to really take benefit. We understand more now what is DAO. And I will ask you one question before we continue with Tay. So keep your questions coming. Follow Jen, Jen Sanaji at LinkedIn. Yeah. Jen, is your project listed now, or it's still in that testing phase or final phases of, you know, when, if it is not, when will it be released? So people can actually, you know, start having some sense, because everybody is panicking now on the USDT or the Tether issue that is coming up.
Yeah, we're live. We've been live for some time. So the Maker Protocol launched in beta in December 2017 in the first version, which was called Single Collateral DAI, which allowed for just one collateral type to be used to generate DAI. And that was ETH. And then in November 2019, we launched the version 2 of the system, which is called multi-collateral DAI. So that allows for many different types of assets, not just ETH, to be used as collateral to generate DAI. So all of those collateral types are voted in by MKR holders through that decentralized governance process. But to date, we have, you know, I think over 20 different asset types. So actually other stable coins, which, you know, might sound odd, but, you know, some people who are holding USDC, USDT, but want to have access to DAI can lock up their stable coins and generate DAI. You know, we also have wrapped Bitcoin, you know, Comp, Aave, Uniswap, you know, some YFI tokens. So there's a lot of diversification in the types of assets that you could use to generate DAI right now. You know, from a growth perspective, from our team, we've you know, integrated DAI or the Maker Protocol in over 1,000 different applications. So it's, you know, you could find DAI on pretty much every major exchange, you know, centralized exchanges, wallets.
That was my next question about which exchange are you available? Because people want to, you know, they want a way out. And how can they kind of secure that way out for that, especially, you know, things are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so you think, you know, in the US, like all the major ones like Coinbase, Gemini, Binance US, Kraken, Bitstamp. In Europe, we're on pretty much all the exchanges. So we actually have team members that work in different markets. So we have a LATAM team. We have somebody in Europe, somebody covering Asia, then myself in the US. So we really try to make sure that DAI has on and off ramps in every market. So at this point, I think there's really probably very little exchanges. I wouldn't even know off the top of my head which ones we're currently not on, but all the big ones where, you know, you'll be able to access DAI, which is important for your listeners.
Nice. Yeah. Jen, can you tell me what was or one of your scariest moments at work in MakerDAO? Do you remember something like, really, that scared you off or scared the community off, some type of event?
Black Thursday last March was very scary. That was, I think we all remember that as a bad market day. Hopefully this is kind of this is kind of a scary day too. But no, kidding aside, you know, not so much, I guess personally, I wouldn't call it scary, but it was more like, you know, finding myself in a whole new world when I joined Maker. You know, prior to this, I worked in digital advertising. So when I knew I wanted to get out of that industry, but I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do. A friend pointed me in the direction of blockchain. So I did a bunch of research. And once I kind of realized like this is something I want to be part of, I started to look at job opportunities. And at the time, Maker was hiring. So it was about maybe two months after I had started, you know, and when you start any new job, there's a learning curve, but I found like the learning curve with Maker was just felt so massive because it was not just like Maker, the protocol itself, which is somewhat sophisticated and not that easy if you're not, you know, familiar with DeFi, but also learning all about, you know, the ins and outs of blockchain and financial concepts. If you haven't worked in finance, there's a lot of traditional financial concepts that come into play with all these different DeFi applications. So I just, you know, there's a day where I remember vividly sitting in my chair with my boss, who was a great mentor, and, you know, he was whiteboarding and showing me the breakdown of the system. And I just thought, oh my goodness, like what? Did I get myself into, like, this is amazing, but I have no idea what these people are talking about. And it was one of those moments where I knew it was going to be a whole new world. And, you know, now that I've obviously, you know, gotten much more familiar with this space, there still is not a day that goes by where I don't read something where it's not entirely familiar. And I think that's the beautiful thing about working in this space, is that information is being created and new concepts are coming into play. New technologies are being used in different ways that it's impossible to feel like, A, you've mastered it, or you're bored, right? So working in this field, I think, is really, really rewarding for that reason. True. But it is certainly a little intimidating at first.
Yeah. Speaking of rewards, I mean, Maker has a big reward for its community with the price sitting at $4,020 as of now. It came like long, long, long way from 6 years ago. And you're speaking about work and work opportunities. I know many of our followers on Dex Talks, especially the ones in Lebanon, and specifically I'm talking to the female talent in Lebanon that has recently, many of them took a big learning curve with the University of Nicosia. They have taken their certificates of the MOOC program, and now they are ready to change careers or to look for a job. Where can they look for a job at MakerDAO? And can you just give us in a very, short preview, how does a recruitment process at MakerDAO happens? Because we know there's no company that you can knock the door and say, hey, please, can I apply for a job? How can they apply, and what can they expect in the interview process? Some cheat sheets, if we can take from you, Jennifer, before we go on with the news.
Yeah, so I guess two things. So the Maker Foundation, which is still intact and is kind of the, you know, the company that has the legal team, you know, marketing team, developers, and where our team, the BD team, used to work under, that still exists. And they actually are still hiring. So I would go, I don't know off the top of my head, but I would go to MakerDAO.com and look on the career section. And you will see, you know, there could be opportunities for probably a lot more technical roles. But I do know that, you know, there's been opportunities for community leads or account managers. So I would check that out. I would also, you know, come check out just the Maker community. So as I described, the DAO is now kind of investing in these in business units that will essentially help to grow the overall ecosystem. So the growth team as a business unit was, you know, we proposed what our business can do, and then that was actually voted on by the community holders. So there's contributors who can participate on these different business units. And, you know, if you see an opportunity or you have an idea that you think would be beneficial to MakerDAO and the ecosystem, you can actually propose a business idea. So for that, I would go to forum.makerdao.com, and you can get a sense of the various, we call them MIPS, proposals that are being put up. You could also just get a feel for the topics and the, you know, the opportunities where that you can, you know, maybe make a difference. So I would look there. But I would also say this is a great time to get into crypto at large, even outside of Maker, because the space is just growing so quickly. Up until today, it felt like a really good bull market. So people seem to be hiring a lot. There's a lot more money being invested in companies, and that means people are expanding teams.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people just to find what specific area you like. It may not be trading. It may not be DeFi specifically. It could be, you could be interested to, you know, work for an NFT platform if you're interested in the art side of it. You know, gaming, there's a lot of blockchain-based gaming development going on. You know, so I think, you know, there's, you know, you want to stay and find something that resonates with your kind of innate interests. And the beauty of that is that, you know, there are a lot more verticals expanding within this space to do that. But yeah, I would encourage everybody, like, if you're thinking about it, if you're interested, take it from me. Like, I definitely took a big leap and it felt uncomfortable, but I've only been happy with that decision.
Yeah. Nice, Jennifer. Well, I think Lebanon would be proud to have you, and we're proud of you being one of the big names in MakerDAO and leading the growth of this decentralized autonomous organization. It will not be the last time that we will hear from MakerDAO. Next week on Wednesday at the same time, the same session, we will be interviewing one of the local heroes of MakerDAO in Latin America. So we will get more insights on how they build their P2P markets, how did they promote DAI there, and how DAI became one of the most used stable currencies in this space. Jennifer, thank you again for being here with us on your busy schedule. I wish you all the best to the MakerDAO Foundation, and we'll see you hopefully on the next episodes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you before you're going to leave, okay. What are you going to tell, you know, the Lebanese people or the people in MENA or Middle East and North Africa? You know, I'm gonna have to benefit from you, because you said you suffered in the beginning. It was totally new. You know, mm-hmm. All of this, those challenges. What do you have one advice for them in the crypto world, in the blockchain world? You know, is to go and do what, to start where possibly. You know, in a practical way, mm-hmm. Because I know there's, you know, it's the future. Blockchain and all of this is really the future. What do you really tell them so they can start? You know, because our platform is about those learnings, is about those tips, is about, you know, inspiring the people. And here we go. We have you today on an actual project, successful project. How can you really, you know, that one advice?
To get into, to kind of break into the space?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say for me personally, what I did was at the time when I had a friend who was saying, you should really look into blockchain. This is a really cool thing. And I was like, I don't know what this blockchain is, but I'll go and Google it and find out. You know, I did a lot of my own just internet research. And then there was actually at the time, there was this class in New York City. It was like a 5-day workshop. It was like blockchain boot camp. And so I went to that, and it kind of gave me a really good, like, overview of, you know, the technology. It certainly wasn't enough to make me, like, fully up to speed, but it gave me enough where I could actually feel, you know, capable of applying for jobs and having interviews. And, you know, I think, you know, the companies aren't going to expect you to be an expert. I think right now, a lot of companies in, you know, in our space are looking for people with different backgrounds. So if you are somebody that worked in traditional finance, somebody that worked in, you know, Web 2, you can take all of those experiences and apply them to our space, because what our space is trying to do is improve upon those older legacy industries. So I would not discount your current experience. And if you're somebody in college, you know, if you're an economics major or a computer science major, or even philosophy, surprisingly, a lot of people in our space are, you know, were philosophy majors. Bring that to the table. And I think, you know, the beauty is, like, this is such an open kind of community and culture, not Maker specifically, but the crypto and more so Ethereum community, that if you bring, you know, ideas, you bring a willingness to contribute, a willingness to learn, it's a lot easier than applying to like a traditional bank or a traditional company like a big Facebook, where you're just going to be one of thousands of applicants. I think you could really break through the noise much easier. And you could do that by reaching out to people on Twitter, you know, crypto Twitter. You could find so much information. And if there's a person you want to connect with, you know, send them a message. You know, you can join the forums and communities. Like, again, you're just basically able to participate as anybody can. Even if you don't own the token, you can still participate in the conversations, and there's just a lot more easy ways to jump in than actually, you know, traditional job searches. So I would say, you know, do a little homework, find out what appeals to you, look at those types of companies that are doing work in that space, reach out, you know, on Twitter, join their community. Most of them have it via Telegram or Discord, and just, you know, join in. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised how easy it is compared to old ways of doing things.
Thank you. And Bob, I have a message for you. Thank you, lovely initiatives. It was really awesome having you on this platform. Keep up the great work, and we'll see DAO next week. Hopefully, yeah, for more.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate the opportunity to join you and your audience. This was really fun. All right.
Have a lovely morning, and catch up soon.
Okay. Shukran.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.